Join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
A little education, and when I get through telling you, you're going to say, yeah, that's very little education. But I asked one of the ladies on the prayer team last night about this, and she didn't know what I was talking about, but how many of you know what a three-dog night is? And it's not the singing group. A three-dog night is when you have to put three dogs in the sleeping bag with you to stay warm. Could be a two-dog night, you know, whatever it takes, but tonight may seem like a three-dog night. So, but anyway, moving on. Kind of like one of those things that sounded better to you than to everybody else, isn't it? Yeah. All right, let me down easy. We're going to talk about rebuilding the walls of our lives tonight, and we've been centered around the family for the first two nights of the prayer meetings, and we're going to stop and take a moment, and as we've done the first two nights, and just ask God to interrupt us. Interrupt whatever's going on in your life right now. Interrupt your agenda. Interrupt what you're thinking about. And let's focus it on what God has for us tonight, because, you know, I could stand up here and say this is a very crucial moment, but I think all moments are crucial. And it's time for God's people to seize the moment and take action. And we're going to correlate the rebuilding of the walls of our lives with Nehemiah and how he went back to Jerusalem and rebuilt the walls back there, led the rebuilding. But let's just have a moment of prayer. Father, we just hit the pause button again tonight. And God, that we would put ourselves in a position where we could hear from you. God, that we could hear your voice clearly tonight and hear what you're saying to us, God, and what needs to change in our lives. Because, God, you want to change things and you want to rearrange things and to put things back in order in our lives. And, God, we just speak order where there's confusion and peace, God, back into our lives and become the people that you need us to become for this last day. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm trying to get focused on the clock back there. I think I can see the big hand now, but Nehemiah's not mentioned in, I don't believe he's mentioned in the Heroes Hall of Fame, but I guess if they had a Heroes of Action, he would be there, because he proved himself to be a man of action. And Nehemiah was in captivity to the kingdom of Persia during the time when God had let the Jews be taken captive and taken out of their land. And some of them were still there in Jerusalem. But Nehemiah was the cupbearer. He worked for the king. He served the king. And he was there one day, and somebody one of the Jews that had been to Jerusalem came back and came up to him, and in Nehemiah 1:3, he told Nehemiah, he said, "The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Jerusalem was in a bad way. It was God's city, and Jerusalem probably looked, we can probably picture Jerusalem as looking, when we look out and we hear the news nowadays and see what's going on and see what's happening to our cities and our state and our nation and the world in general. But tonight I want us to bring it a little bit closer to home and begin to focus on our families and what's going on around us. Not that we don't need to change all those other things and reach those places, because we do, it's part of our job. But I believe our families, that we need to be Nehemiah in our families and get that fixed and get that foundation laid. And that's one of the things I believe God's doing this week, getting to go back and lay this foundation, lay a foundation of family and a foundation of marriage, and getting our walls put back up and our gates closed to things that want to come in. But Nehemiah heard this news, and it nowadays when we hear the news, it's just like, oh yeah, you know, here's another thing. But this really touched Nehemiah's heart. And it says that he began to fast, and he began to pray, and he began to cry out to God. And he didn't point the finger. He kind of shouldered the blame himself. And I believe God spoke to him during that time being, because shortly thereafter, it said that he went before the king. Nehemiah realized, I've got to rise up. This is my time. This is my hour. And whether you want to believe it or not, this is our time and this is our hour. You know, it's like, what are we waiting for? In Hebrews it says, now faith is. It's now is the time to have faith. Now is the time to rise up. In Romans it talks about all of creation is groaning for the sons of God to be revealed. And it's a time of revealing. It's a time that God is going to speak to people. And God is going to say, this is what needs to be done. But it's going to be up to us to take action like Nehemiah did. And Nehemiah was at great risk, because if I recall that the culture of that time, so he went before the king when he wasn't called, and he went before him with a sad countenance. And if I understand it right, he could have lost his head over that. But he took a risk. He stepped out in faith. And it was explained to me a while back, if your faith doesn't involve some risk, it may not be faith. It just may not be faith. But Nehemiah was so touched and so moved and so hurt about what was going on in the holy city. He said, I've got to do something. And God gave him a plan. And he went before the king. And he had his plan and he put together. And he had prayed and he approached the king. And the king, he found favor with the king. And he began to tell the king, okay, I want to go back. I want to go back and I want to repair the walls and the gates around my city. And this is what I'm going to need, the equipment and the people. And the king told him he could have all this stuff, and he gave him letters so that he could go safely back into Jerusalem and go through these other kingdoms and get there and do what he wanted to do. So Nehemiah went back. And the first thing he did when he went back was he went out and he surveyed the damage. He looked around, and you know, it's like when you hear about a storm or something and you kind of get in your mind's eye how it can be. I just imagine how it was when he got there and he saw what had really taken place, how bad that it really was. And sometimes when we see how bad it really is, it's hard to, it's like our faith has got to rise up. You know, we've got to have something in there already. And we can't be ready for everything that comes against us. But it's how we react, isn't it? It's how we react. We can't control circumstances. We can't control the things that come against us. But we can control how we react to them. And God wants us to react in a positive way. And it comes down to having our eyes fixed on God, fixed on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to be able to look over the top of these things, and I'm not saying imagine that they're not there, it's not really happening, but there must be a people now that are so rooted and grounded, it doesn't matter what comes against us, we know that we have the ability and we have the strength to rise up and be victorious. Our families are depending upon it. You know, this world depends upon, they don't realize it, but they are depending upon us. That's good. They don't know it, but we are their hope. Good. We are their hope. So Nehemiah surveyed the damage, and this is what he said. You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. And this was their reply. Let us start rebuilding. So they began this good work. And I'm reminded of Saul's son, Jonathan, and the king Saul and all his men were under a tree somewhere, down and out, couldn't do anything. And God inspired Jonathan to go and attack a Philistine garrison of 25 men that he had to climb right straight up a hill into this garrison. And he spoke to his armor bearer and told him what he wanted to do. And the armor bearer looked at him and he said, "I'm with you. Do all that's in your heart. Do all that's in your heart." And this is what he had told the armor bearer. He said, "Come, let's go over there. Maybe God will work for us." He wasn't real sure what was going to happen, but he knew in his heart somebody had to stand up. It was time for somebody to take a stand. And see, we're always waiting for somebody else. We're waiting for the pastor. We're waiting for this person or that person. God wants to use you. God wants to use. What you do is just as important as what anybody else does.
That's right. That's good.
But he went out and he saw this damage. He saw that the walls were torn down and the gates were burnt down. And this was a physical thing that had happened there. And the physical enemy could come in because there was no protection. And if you'll go and read, and I go home and read the book of Nehemiah tonight and read about what they went through and what happened. But when the walls went down, this is what Nehemiah found. It wasn't just a physical, there was a spiritual defeat taking place at that time too, because he was told that the people are afflicted and they're in great disgrace. But there was also sin abounding in the city at that time. The Jews were marrying women, they were marrying out of their faith. They were marrying, I believe it was Moabites or women that weren't of the Jewish faith. And we know what God thought about that. And the rich were taking advantage of the poor. And their spiritual gates were down, and the enemy was just flooding in spiritually and physically, and they were depressed and they were down. And that's the way the enemy works. And that's how I want to correlate this, is this is what God wants us to do. You know, it's time for us to do a survey. It's time for us to look around. What is going on in my life? What have I let down? What gate have I let open and the enemy come in through? Many times the enemy doesn't have to creep in, we let him in. There's verbal abuse takes place in our homes sometimes. The enemy gets to come in. We don't look at it like that, but that is an invitation for the enemy to come into our house. We just invited him in. When we begin to abuse each other verbally, and when we get into doubt and we get into defeat and we begin to speak those things, that allows him to come in. In Romans, it talks about the word of faith is nigh thee in thy heart and in thy mouth. And I know we have to speak the truth, and we have to say, well, this is how it is right now. But you know, it can change, and we can begin to speak change. And that's what Nehemiah did when he went back. He didn't spoke, well, it's really, really bad here, because that was pretty evident it was. But he began to speak faith, and he spoke faith to the point where the people just jumped right in there and said, let's rebuild. Let's rebuild. And he got them back busy, and he got them back going, and he got them back moving. You know, and if we stay busy, then our mind won't go to so many things, to a lot of the different avenues it goes and lets things in. It talks about in Hebrews how the Word of God is active and it's alive and it's energizing. And when we stay in the Word, and this is something that God's been dealing with me about being more disciplined in my Bible study, because the Word, when we stay in the Word activates and energizes our minds. And in Peter, it talks about girding up the loins of your mind. And if our minds stay girded up, then our walls won't be going down. Our walls will be staying up. We will see where the enemy's trying to come in. We'll see what's happening in our life. But we get to a place of complacency. and slack. And I got to believe that's what happened to the church when I was young, when I was a kid, and I'm not pointing the finger, and abortion came in, and prayer went out of school, and a lot of things came in when we slept. I went to visit Pam Aldridge's mother last week, and when I went into the room, she was asleep. And I knew that, and Leonard, he had asked me to go. He said, she needs to pray the prayer of salvation. And I knew that she had to be woke up. And a nurse came around and I asked him, a family member has asked me to come and pray. Can you wake her up for me? And he went over and woke her up. And she woke up and we talked. And she was so open to everything that I said. And she asked Jesus into her heart. And many of you know the next day she left this world. She left this world. But she went to heaven. She woke up and she understood what was going on and saw the need for Christ. And she put that wall back up in her life. But we got to wake up. And maybe you're in the Word. Maybe you're good on that. But I believe there's a place in each of our lives that we need to shore up. That we need to sit back and take a spiritual survey. And it's kind of like your house. I found out it's a good idea every once in a while just to walk around and look. Are there any shingles missing? Are there any tabs broken off? I look around the slab. Are there any termite terminal tunnels going up the slab? Is there any siding missing? Is there something where water can creep in and begin to rot things? Or are the termites getting in and doing structural damage? And you don't know it unless you get out there and find and you see those little tunnels. They could be eating up half your home and you don't even know they're in there. Well, you have to take a survey. But it's not good enough to take a survey. You got to take action. You got to call Jay Ruffgaard and say, Jay, come over, fix it. You got to get it fixed. You got to patch your roof. You got to say, hey, the water's getting in. The insects are getting in. Whatever it is that's getting in that shouldn't be in there, we got to put a stop to it. It's got to be halted. Walls go down for a lot of reasons. My biggest problem is I think just complacency sometimes. Just get complacent. But you know, what's going on around us ought to be enough to just stir us. You know, it ought to be enough to stir us into action. And like Nehemiah, and let that zeal. And I think if Christians nowadays lack anything, it's that zeal. I mean, we can get knowledge. We can go to the Bible and we can get knowledge. We can come to church. We can learn. But that zeal has got to, it's got to come out of the inside of us. We just got to get stirred up. And sometimes it's a righteous anger that comes upon us. And I think that was part of what happened to Nehemiah. He got so stirred up and said, somebody's got to do something, and that somebody's me. And that somebody's got to do something in your family, and that somebody's you and me. It's time. It's time right now to stand up. Some of us have been asleep too long, and we've let truth, the wall of truth in our life, begin to crumble. You know, it's maybe only halfway up. Maybe these times have said to us that, I can't be, my integrity can't be up there because I could lose some money. And so my integrity has begun to drop down, or I've got to cheat on my income taxes. I don't know how many times I've owned a lot of boats over my lives, throughout my life, and there's always, you get your form there that you fill out for transfer, and you write the purchase price in there, and you're going to pay taxes on that purchase price. And you know, and the urge is always there, because a lot of times they'll leave it blank, and it's up to you to fill it in. Now, what are you going to put in there? You know, are you going to put in there what you purchased for? Well, you know, the government's got enough money. They don't need any more of mine. I'll just write it for $1,000 less or something. But there's little inroads like that that get to start making in our honesty and our integrity. Maybe we've lost our peace. Sometimes Our peace comes from television. I don't know how many times I've gone in and had a bad day, and I know if I just go in there and turn the TV on and get focused on it, that I just, that becomes my girding up my mind. That's not the way God wants it done. We're on the iFit program. Sometimes I have a bad day. I just want to eat everything inside. I look like Pac-Man, you know? Just, especially at night, about 8, 8:30, it's terrible. I mean, it just comes on you, and Sarah, don't send me any more emails. I got to fix this thing. But it's true. It's true. We turn to food. We turn to all these external things to distract us and make us feel better. But it's like alcohol or drugs. It only lasts for a little while. Then we got to have more. We have to learn. And in those times, and they got in those places. They got about halfway through building the walls, and the people begin to look around, and all they could see is ash, more ashes and more stones that need to be put back up. And they got down, but they didn't stay down. They took that as an opportunity to get back up. And Nehemiah, and they prayed, and they said, God, strengthen our hands. And God wants us to put our walls back up. God is for that. God is 100% behind that. And when we pray, God, strengthen our hands, God's going to jump in there. God's going to get all over that. God's going to strengthen you. Why wouldn't He strengthen? He wants that done. He'll get in that. He'll get all over that. And when God strengthens us, it's like nothing else. Because I don't know about you, but if we don't do this, if we don't get involved in this, if I don't become a Nehemiah to my family, it's going to slowly spiral downhill. Because if you in Isaiah it says, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all. And we have to stand for something. We have to stand up. I can't remember the man's name, but the saying goes that when good men do nothing, evil prevails. And that's not in the Bible, but it probably ought to be, because it's so true. It's true. It's true. And we're good men and we're good women. And it's time for us to stand up and take control. And we're like these people. We've worked and we get to this place and we can still just see ashes and boulders laying around. And we're just like, what do I do? I can't do anymore. But, you know, you can. You can. You can. You can get up. You can put another stone up. And it was so neat when you begin to read this, and it says so-and-so took this section of the wall, him and his family, and they rebuilt that wall. And another family took this gate, and they began to work on the gate, and another family took this section of wall. And you can get your little map at the back of your Bible. It's got all these walls and gates labeled, and you can see how they just went all the way around Jerusalem and put everything back up. And it's time to put everything back up. And I got to believe for this day and age, for that day and age, what they did had to be an engineering miracle. It was 52 days they rebuilt the gates and the walls of Jerusalem. They took a ragtag bunch of people. They were down and out. And Nehemiah drew them together. And the Spirit of God came on them and gave them a mind to work. And that's what God's people need, a mind to work. We've all got a part to play. We've all got a job to do. And we may never be like Nehemiah and do some great and noble thing, but man, our families need us. Our families need us to stand up. It's time to shore the walls and the gates in our family. It's time to close the gates to things that are coming into our homes and say, no more. No more. It's enough. We're going to draw a line in the sand. We're not going to back up anymore. This is it. You know, if you keep backing up and backing up and backing up, you don't even know where the line is anymore. And it's time to take a stand. And you know, it's not going to be real popular probably. It wasn't real popular here. Sanballat and Tobiah, They didn't like it. And they caused them a lot of problems. But God gave them an answer. He said, send half of them out there with tools and half of them out there with weapons to watch. And they never missed a beat. They just kept on going. And in Corinthians, it talked about the weapons of our warfare are mighty before God. And God will give us weapons. And God's given us faith. And God's given us the Word of God. And He's girt our loins about with truth and a breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And that's our tools and that's our equipment. That's the same stuff David went out into the valley to face the giant with. And he slew the giant. And we got some giants to slay. But it's time to stand up and it's time to go to work. And it's time to do and be what God's called us to be. I've got my walls that need to be rebuilt. And you have your walls that need to be rebuilt. There may be two totally different things. I don't know. But I know we've all got something that we've got to work on. And we've got to get them back up. We've got to protect our families. We've got to be there. It's for their own good. No, they may not understand it. I'm not like some of you. I don't have kids to deal with anymore. It's me and my wife and Webster the cat. And I can put him up. But it's really, sometimes we just get to the place where we just get tired. We get tired. But as Sarah would say, just go get some water. Begin to drink your water. Begin to drink your spiritual water. Begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Cry out to God. You don't need a form prayer or anything. Just cry out to God in an earnest, fervent, heartfelt prayer and say, God, show me. Where am I missing it? What do I need to do? Where is my wall? And chances are, we know. We know where they are. It's just sometimes we want to look the other way. We want to do the ostrich thing and bury our head in the sand. But, you know, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford. This world needs us. And I believe, and I know there's people in here. I believe in you. We pray for you. You're going to rise up. God didn't just give us this just so we'd have something else to talk about on Wednesday night. This is real. This is urgent. The pastor needs to stand up because I want to stand here tonight and I want to say, Pastor, do all that's in your heart. I'm with you. And when we get this foundation laid in our families, then he can turn his head from having to work on us all the time to the task at hand on Calder Road. And we can go to work on bigger and better things. And we can get the city saved and affect the state. You know, it's not about how big of a church we are. That's not what we judge ourselves by. We judge ourselves by the effect we're having on the community around us. Are we having a positive impact on this place? We need to have a positive impact. And we're going to start by having it in our families. And then we're going to go from there. We're going to take some time and pray here. And I want you to ask God, what do I need to do? What needs to be put back up in my life? It's a very simple prayer. Just say, Lord, shine your light in my darkness. And give me my daily bread. And God will give you the revelation you need. And He'll show you what needs to be done. He's been showing me. And it's not something I want to watch all the time. But we need the truth. And God's all about the truth. And let's take the next 10 to 15 minutes. And let's begin to seek God. And let God speak to us. And reveal to us what we need to put up. Isaiah 49 is what we've based a lot of our prayer meeting on this week. And I want to read you some of it. And I'm thinking it'll inspire you. It's really inspired me. I just had a really hard time getting out of it. But it says, listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, He has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of His hand He hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in His quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. But I said, I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Ever said that? Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And then over in verse 8, I'm going to skip over, and it says, this is what the Lord says, in the time of my favor I will answer you, and in the day of salvation I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. A lot of things that happen to a lot of other people hinge upon us in the Church of Jesus Christ rising up in this day and restoring the desolate inheritances. There's people out there that the things have been stolen from them. God had planned for them and they never got because of one thing or another. Maybe it was sin, maybe it was circumstances. Who knows? It's not us to judge. But God wants those people restored, and God's restoring us so that we can restore them. And what greater calling than to be able to go out there and use what God's given us to set others free, to see other people come out of darkness and come out of captivity and come into the fullness and the wholeness that Jesus had planned for them. The Apostle Paul said, I have not yet apprehended that which I was apprehended for, but I'm after it. I'm on my way. And that's what God's about, getting us and getting us up and getting us on our way. You know, it starts right here, and it starts in our families. And I want to end this up tonight with, I want the prayer team to come up. And if you're like, if this is where you are, I've labored to no purpose, I've spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet, but you know there's something in God's hand. You know there's something in there. You know the door hadn't been closed. You know God wants to use you, and you know God has a plan for your life. But you've gotten weak, and you just need some strength. The prayer team is going to come up, and we want to pray for you. We want to pray, God, strengthen my hands. Or if you need something else, tomorrow night is going to be about finances. Friday night's going to be nail it to the cross. We're going to pray for unsaved loved ones, and Jay's going to build us a cross, and we're going to nail those needs to that cross. If you can't be here and you want prayer for that, you come on up tonight, and we're going to pray. We're going to pray, God, strengthen your hands, though. Come on, prayer team.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org. Or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.